Part 2, Feedbacking Hendrix, or What's All This Have to Do with Composition? Jimi Hendrix's use of feedback, whereby sound vibrations from an electric instrument like a guitar get picked up and fed again through the amplification system, illustrates in a germinal form characteristics essential for understanding today's digital and remix aesthetics, while also linking quite concretely with debates about modeling communications pathways. Arguably the most revolutionary guitarist of the 20th century, one of Hendrix's most important contributions was the use of volume to generate a particular kind of noise, feedback, and the development of techniques for controlling and integrating noise and feedback into a musical setting. This impacts our understanding of communicational models. For example, the clear cybernetic telephony model of Claude Shannon and Warren Weaver. Contra Shannon and Weaver, for Hendrix, noise is not a source of contamination or something to be eliminated, but rather an integral input stream, a source of information worthy of inclusion and manipulation. The roiling harmonics and waves feedback generate sounds akin to ghosts in the sonic landscape, and Shannon and Weaver's noise now becomes musical. These ghosts, musical or otherwise, are intertextual residues or traces of an excess that will not be repressed or squeegeed. While Hendrix was not the only one developing such new aesthetics, Hendrix's influence in particular has been massive to the point where scores of artists such as Sonic Youth, Glenn Branca, My Bloody Valentine, Ride, Sigur Rós, and more have formulated entire feedback-based aesthetics. While not all artists go so far, it has at least become a commonplace to incorporate formerly unacknowledged, if not illegitimate, forms of sound and label them legitimate, thereby reimagining noise as input. If it is not yet clear, we want to underscore that we are not merely discussing the musical incorporation of noise, rather we are suggesting that such techniques can productively be adopted in composition classrooms, at the very least in terms of expanding our techniques for invention. In some ways, this might be considered a bricolage-like aesthetic of merging different idioms, such as transforming noise into signal and finding new sources of input, as world music strives to do. By multiplying the legitimate sources of music or production in general, we counter the tendency to create a separate world of art and aesthetics, blurring distinction between art and not art, to the point where we can dwell interactively in musico-aesthetic spaces without consigning ourselves exclusively to the aesthetic realm. We thereby come to appreciate the materials already surrounding us in the postmodern fashion of radically expanding the sources and agencies involved in theorizing and conducting creative endeavors. We might offer, then, a series of revised communicative models that attempt to grapple with the incorporation of noise, the generation of feedback, and the blurring of genre boundaries. First, here is a model loosely affiliated with what Hendrix accomplished, see Figure 2. The feedback here may well be undifferentiated and messy. We understand it as captured in the moment and rebroadcast through the same electronics that generate it. And in this way, it reformulates or rearticulates noise as signal. Such a model values what might have been categorized as waste. We might say, in fine postmodern fashion, that noise is simply a new move in the communicative game, but one that also, in accordance with the principles of feedback, changes the nature of the game. Having moved from dismissing feedback as noise to valuing feedback as input, we follow recent musical composition practice in articulating a variety of sources of feedback. By articulating these sources of feedback, we move toward valuing them as we name and differentiate their source and use. As John Dan Johnson Alola reminded us, Shannon and Weaver were describing the technical specifications for effective long-distance communication. But as Michelle Serres indicated in The Parasite, there are different kinds of noise, forms of which can be made helpful. The dial tone, for instance, is a noise that provides feedback. It functions as an indication that the system is ready to place an outgoing call. In French, the dial tone is called le parasite, the parasite, and it is a useful noise accorded a particular value and idiosyncratic label. And in effect, it becomes a new input stream. below, labels in Figure 3 name useful forms of feedback. Hendrix electronic static, crowd noise that indicates a track was recorded in front of a live audience. Samples and loops that have gained prominence in hip-hop and house music. Natural and other sounds occurring in man-made environments and captured for later use. As well as visual art and other media input, including writing. Feedback, then, can take myriad forms, and we show here a few we can recognize and name to illustrate a point. We have moved from a first-order cybernetic sense of the technical need to eliminate noise in the communicative process, to valuing noise produced by the creation of musical sound, to recognizing that noise comes from numerous sources rather than a single source, to naming and distinguishing a variety of these sources. We are not so much advocating the use of sound in compositions, as we are looking to music culture to gain inspiration and models that are applicable to the medium. That is, we are remixing written composition so that it learns from musical culture and takes it as a valued source. Let us not forget all the parents in 1964 American households covering their ears exclaiming, "What is this noise?" when hearing the Beatles for the first time. Just as German parents wondered upon hearing Wagner for the first time, "Was ist das Geräusch?" that is, "What is this noise?" With time, Wagner has found his total artwork enshrined among other high art, brimming with cultural capital, while the Beatles are in the midst of a similar sanctification. Yes, may yet be waiting a while. End of part 2.